We're very glad to see you all at the Gospel service tonight. We want to thank you for your presence on this beautiful Lord's Day evening. We're going to sing the words of the hymn 227. As we commence the service tonight, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Think of that word today. It'll have great emphasis in the Gospel message tonight, longing for pardon today. Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. 227, we're standing as we sing, please. Let's just seek the Lord together, please. Our God and Father, we bow before Thee in the place of prayer. Glad, Father, that we can approach on to Your throne. We thank You for the place of prayer, the place where prayers want to be made. And Father, our desire is that You would lead us on. Lead us on with Thyself. Lead us on, Father, especially in prayer. We ask Thee to teach us to pray. Lord, we are in great need to be taught of God. We're in great need, Father, to be taught of Thee in every area of our Christian life. But especially we're in need to be taught of God in prayer. We ask Thee, Father, give us the spirit of prayer. Grant it to us individually, personally. Grant it, Father, to us as a church. Pour out the Holy Ghost upon us. We do want to thank You for those that gathered earlier to seek Thee at the throne of grace, the prayer meeting before this gospel meeting. Lord, we recognize the importance of that. We need to cry to thee for your blessing, to pray down the blessing of God upon this meeting, upon the preaching of the gospel. We need, Father, to commit this time into your hands, to acknowledge that we need the Holy Ghost to come. Lord, answer prayer. Answer the cries of those cries that have gone up. Lord, we remember the promise, call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, answer our cries, fulfill your word. We plead with thee, fulfill the promise. Lord, we've called upon thee. We're looking to thee to answer our prayers, to do great and mighty things. We are thankful, Father, for the tokens for good you've given to us as a congregation. We want to thank you for your hand upon the meetings, the Spirit of the Lord that we've known in those meetings, the presence of God. Thank you, Father, for those that have come along to the service, to the meetings here, visitors, those that have been coming regularly, those, Father, that have been coming in to visit with us. Our prayer would be, Father, that might increase. We do thank you earnestly for hearing our prayers, for the mercy drops round us that are falling. But, Father, it's for the showers of blessing that we would plead for, even tonight. O God, we ask thee to be gracious to us in this meeting. We pray for the wind of God to come into this gathering. May we all sense the movings of the Holy Ghost, the working of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Lord, we recognize some of the great mysteries connected with the things of God and the workings of the Spirit of the Lord. And our cry would be that he might come. O God, come tonight. Come into this meeting. We have been singing together these words, Jesus is passing this way, is passing this way today. O God, that's our burden as we come to this gospel meeting tonight, that the Lord himself would pass this way, that you'll pass through this meeting, pass through our midst, Father, that we will know that the Lord has come into this meeting, that all that are here will know that the Lord is in his house, that the Lord is in his tabernacle. And Lord, come today in great blessing. Come today in the saving of souls. Lord, we desire that you would work in this meeting. We long, Father, that would be a common thing. But we don't want, Father, to have to wait till next week or to next month or next year. Lord, we ask thee to come into the meeting tonight. Come in great blessing. Come, Father, and do something in our services that we have never known, never experienced before. Speak tonight through your word. You've taught us that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Lord, we pray there will be some in this meeting and our families, some even listening to this live stream, that will be brought to faith, to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, Father, all the families of this church, this congregation. We think, Father, of the differing needs and circumstances. We do want to lift each one up before thee tonight. Pray that you'll bless our homes. We pray that you'll bless our families. Lord, we ask thee to bless our families with the material things that are needed. Remember that Paul said that you sent once and again unto my necessity. Lord, those things that are necessary for us to live here in this world, to live for Christ in this evil world in which we're found. But Lord, most of all, we're pleading, bless the families of this church spiritually. Give us, Father, a greater desire for spiritual things, a greater hunger for the things of God than we've ever had before. Oh Lord, take away from us more and more the desire for the things of this world. And Lord, help us to strive after thee. Help us to strive for the prize. Paul said that he strived. And Lord, give us that desire just to strive after thee as well, to do the will of God with all our heart and with all of our soul. Lord, we're mindful of our city. We want to bring it before thee, that this city needs the touch of God upon it. It needs a visitation of the Lord. We ask thee, Lord, come down. We pray that as a church, you might bless us and use us to see this city moved, move for God, as it has been, Father, in time past, even through the ministry of this church and through the ministry of the Free Church and Dr. Paisley's ministry right away back at the beginning. Oh God, we need to see that again. We acknowledge that, Father. That's our greatest need in the days in which we're found. You've assured us, Father, that you can come again in such blessing. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh God, do it again. Do it in this church. Do it in this city once more. Father, would be the longing of our hearts. We think of the visit of our king and queen to this city, even in the past week. And Lord, we think of even the ecumenical emphasis on that visit and even the ecumenical agenda that our king has. Oh God, we would pray that you'll save him from it. In the words of our national anthem, we think of even the words that were declared when Saul was made the first king of Israel. God, save the king. Lord, that is our cry. Save a soul. Save both our king and queen. Save them, Father, even in the latter days of their lives. Make them a testimony for God, not just in this nation, but even across the earth. Save them, Father, from that Romeward trend, that ecumenical road upon which they're found. Deliver them, we pray, from it, and deliver our nation, Father, from that direction, that pathway as well. Turn this land, we ask once again, to God. Lord, we ask thee, give us a desire for thy statutes, for thy law. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We pray, Lord, that this land once again will be a land that is known for its righteousness, for its righteous laws, for its righteous living, for its righteous leaders. Oh God, we think of those that are set over this land even at this time, no thought of the things of God. They have no concern about your word, no concern about the commandments, the Ten Commandments of God that you've given to us as a rule of life. Oh God, we would pray, give to us those that love the Lord. Give to us those that have a fear of God, that would turn this land again, even in its laws, turn it again to thee. But Lord, we pray, send to us men of God, prophets in the land, men endued with power, men that preach the gospel, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, hear our prayers now and abide with us. Guide us through the remainder of this meeting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 370, please. Hymn 370. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. We're going to remain seated as we sing the hymn together. 370, please.
Of Jesus and His love.
Take the scriptures, please. We're turning to the New Testament again this evening, to the book of Hebrews in the third chapter. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Hebrew Christians, the Hebrew believers. We're in the third chapter and beginning to read at the first verse. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's hear God's word to our hearts tonight. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We'll close our reading, or end our reading, just there at the close of the chapter. And we're praying that the Lord will write his word tonight upon every heart and be pleased to add his blessing to it. We do thank you all for coming along to our gospel service. We're thankful for your presence in the meeting. We appreciate all that have come. We're glad of your fellowship. We're very thankful for your faithful support of the meetings here. Thankful for your faithful support of this evening meeting that allows this meeting to be maintained and to continue Sabbath night by Sabbath night for the preaching of the gospel. And we're glad to see all of the children, the young people that have come along to the service tonight as well. We want to give you a special welcome. We're always encouraged by your presence in our meetings. And we take a moment too to welcome those that are watching the service, those that are looking in on the live stream. We appreciate you taking the time to do that, and pray that this meeting will be a help and an encouragement to your heart tonight as well. Just remind you, we're taking the annual May offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible. We're taking that offering at both services today. If you'd like to give a gift towards the running costs of the college, remember that all of our congregations take this May offering on an annual basis just to help maintain the college. So put your gift in an envelope, mark it for the Whitfield College, and place it on one of the plates at the door of the church. Remember, Wednesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study in the church hall at 8. I hope to be speaking at that myself, and we invite you all to come along and give your support to the prayer meeting of the church. The Sunday school outing, God willing, will be held on Friday evening. Remember, the bus is leaving the Mall just outside the Orange Hurt, just outside the Orange Hall at 6 o'clock on Friday evening, going over to Airtastic, to the trampoline park at Craigavon for a time of fun, and then a visit to McDonald's over there before they return home again. Just again to remind the parents of the need for the parental consent form to be filled out and returned before Friday evening. On Saturday afternoon at 3, there's the visit for the ladies to the Armagh Palace. That'll last for approximately an hour and a half. We want to encourage all of the ladies of the church
to come along. It's a nice opportunity for informal fellowship together just at the close of the season. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, put your name on the list in the porch. Remember, it's open to your family and friends, anyone else that would like to come, any of the other ladies in your family or circle of friends that would like to come along, put their name on the list as well. We need to have those lists today just to be able to notify the palace of the numbers that will be coming. And just remind you, if you can make your own way over to the palace on Saturday afternoon and come in good time, remember that they're expecting us for 3 o'clock. So if you can come for just a little time before that. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of June, our annual Children's Day services. The Sunday school meeting at 10:30 for their final practice, just to highlight again the earlier start, 10 minutes earlier than usual. Meetings 11:30 and 6:30. Children taking part in both of the meetings. The speaker, our guest speaker, the Reverend David Linden, one of our retired ministers. Remember, there's no communion, as it is Children's Day, and there will be supper for everyone served after the service. So we ask if the ladies can once again help us with the food. And we emphasize the seasons of prayer, please, before both meetings. The next meeting of the church committee is Monday night week, Monday the 5th of June at 7:30 in the church hall. And the next outreach is on Tuesday the 6th, also at 7:30, outreach team meeting here Tuesday night week at the church to go out again into the city. Remember our mass show on Saturday the 10th, the outreach, the church again taking a stand, and we take a page in the catalogue to advertise the services and also print a gospel message on that same page. It's a very profitable outreach for us. Remember, there's a list in the porch. We do need help from the congregation. We appreciate those that help from year to year. The list is there. Put your name down in one of the slots that is suitable to you. And we do encourage as many as possible to get involved. Even if you haven't helped out with that outreach before, be assured it would be an encouragement to us if you were able to give some help on Saturday the 10th. And remember, if you'd like to give a gift as well towards the costs of that outreach, that would be a help and an encouragement also. The ordination of our new elders will be this night, 2 weeks. So that's Sunday the 11th of June at 6:30. Do plan to be here and encourage others to come along as well. The following night, Monday the 12th, is the LTBS TV recordings over in Lurgan. I have to preach at the first one at 7 o'clock and then lead the other two at 8 and 9 o'clock. They do encourage folk to come along when there's a minister that is there taking part, if members of his congregation can come just to give support. So remember the list in the porch for those who can attend. And we do encourage you to come across, especially if you haven't been there for one of the TV recordings before. Put your name down there before next Lord's Day, as we do need to let them know then as soon as possible. The Kerskadon Sending Forth service is Thursday night week. That's Thursday the 8th of June. It's going to be held in the Dungannon Church. The Reverend Mercer is to be the preacher. Miss Terza Walker from Lurgan is singing. There's going to be some light refreshments and tea afterwards, so we encourage you to set that night aside and encourage the Kerskadons with your presence. Remember to take a copy of those two sheets from the Missionary Council that are there in the porch. And remember to look at the advert on the Facebook page for the training seminars for children's workers. We want to encourage all of the children's workers and youth workers from the church to avail of that opportunity of training prepared by the board. Take a look at the literature that's there as well, the magazines and so on, and especially the bookmarks, as we had our Ukrainian friends with us last Sunday night. Donald Fleming sent those down with prayer requests, matters of prayer that we can present before the Lord for Ukraine, the church there, and the Ukrainian people at this time. Continue to pray for Mrs. Annie Verner, that has been unwell during the past week, quite weak and ill. Pray for the Lord's healing and strengthening touch to be upon her. We were contacted this afternoon just to notify us that Jim has got home. Jim Cross has got home from the hospital. We're glad to hear that news. Pray that Jim will have a continued good recovery, steady and full recovery, very quickly, just in coming days. We're going to sing together 246, please. The hymn 246. Think of the challenge, the warning of these words as we sing them together. Time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. So 246, and we're standing to sing. Let's just take a few moments to seek the Lord's face again in prayer. Father, we praise thee for your provision for us as a church. We thank you for your faithfulness. Remember that your word tells us that you're faithful to every generation. Lord, not just to the generation in Bible times. We rejoice in your faithfulness that we have known and experienced in our time and in our generation, even, Father, this dark end time generation. We thank you for the encouragement of the faithfulness of our God to us. We bring this work, Father, and spread it out at the throne of grace. We pray that you'll provide for us week by week. We ask you to maintain the witness. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people here. We ask you to encourage everyone, bless them for their diligence, their dedicated support of this work, their attendance at these meetings. Lord, bless every brother and sister here tonight, even with a sense of your presence. May the power of God be known and felt. May the word of the gospel go forth with clarity and with power. We think, Father, of the meetings, the activities that have all been announced. We're conscious that they're subject to your will. Whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And Lord, we commit them into your hands. We're asking for your blessing upon every activity of this church. And we're praying, Father, lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. We plead that you'll be pleased to own our labors. We acknowledge at best that we're all just but unprofitable servants. But Lord, we ask that you'll use us despite our failings and shortcomings. And Lord, use this testimony even for a great influence for God in this community and in the winning of many, many lost souls to Christ. Answer our prayers, Lord, and Bless us now. May the Spirit descend. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Hebrews chapter 3, and the verses 7 and 8 are our text tonight. Hebrews 3, the verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You may have noticed in the reading, if you look a little further down the chapter, that some of those words are repeated. Verse 15, while it is today, or while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Remember, repetitions are in the Bible for a good reason. When God repeats something, he wants us to take note of it. Repetitions are there for emphasis. We're thinking tonight the theme is why you should get saved immediately. I want to impress that upon every heart in this gospel service. We emphasize in all our meetings, especially our gospel meetings, Sunday school, children's work, youth meetings, the importance of being saved. Tonight we want to emphasize the urgency that there is in being saved. Why you should get saved immediately without any further delay. If you think of the word in the text where it says today, if you will. So we want to emphasize the importance of getting saved immediately. There's some here tonight and you're in danger. You're in danger of being lost. You're in danger of being too late for God's salvation. And we want to plead earnestly with you with all our heart of the need for you to get saved tonight in this gospel service before you go from the Lord's house. What is needed, men and women, we pray that you'll see this clearly as never before. What is needed is an immediate decision for Jesus Christ. An immediate decision to trust him, to turn from your sins, and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The text says, today, if ye will, hear his voice, and harden not your heart. So we're going to ask why. Why should you get saved today without any further delay? I want to give you some answers to that vital, all-important question. The first, men and women, why should you get saved today? Well, because of sudden death. If you think of those words, or that one single word, today, just ponder that for a moment, today. The Bible says you're not to boast of tomorrow. The Bible says you know not what shall be on the morrow. Today, men and women, is the only day that you are sure of. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. So that's why you need to get saved immediately, without any further delay. In the book of Numbers, it says, if a man die very suddenly, just think of that, not just suddenly, if a man die suddenly, it says, if a man die very suddenly. And I pray the Lord might write that on your heart tonight. I want you to think of sudden death. That's something that happens every day. Happens to the young and to the old, to the rich and to the poor, to the sick and to the healthy. There are many people that die unexpectedly, totally unexpectedly. There are many people that die without warning, without any warning whatsoever. And maybe you will be one of those people. Calvin Coolidge, who was the 30th president of the United States of America, his son, one day was out enjoying some recreation with his friends. He was playing a little bit of tennis. He blistered his heel, and just a short time afterwards, as a result of that blister, he died. He had experienced or contracted blood poisoning. So simple, and it suddenly, unexpectedly, ushered him from this scene of time. So I emphasize it, men and women. I pray the Holy Ghost will write it on your heart tonight. Death can be sudden. The reality is the same for you tonight. Pray that you might take that in. You may not live to see another day upon this earth. God could say to you this night, not tomorrow night, not next Sunday night. God could say to you this night, just as he said to that rich farmer, we read off in Luke chapter 12, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If that were to be the case, I ask you the question, are you saved? Do you know Christ? Are you ready to go from this world, ready to go out into eternity? A number of years ago in Berlin, in Germany, a man took seriously ill. They pushed his bed in the room, in the bedroom, they pushed his bed over against the wall. As he lay there, so sick, in the fever and so on, he heard a voice. The voice was repeating the words, today thou livest yet, today turn thee to God, for ere tomorrow comes, thou mayest be with the dead. He heard that over and over and over again. Whenever the doctor came to visit him, he told the doctor about these voices that he was hearing. The doctor thought in his temperature and so on, his illness, that he was raving a little. But he repeated to the doctor the words that he'd heard. And the next day, when the doctor came, he found the man reading his Bible. Both of those men, the doctor and the patient, were converted. What was the voice? Was it a dream? An angel? It was actually a boy. A boy that hadn't learnt his lines and had been put into the corner in the apartment adjoining. And the corner of the room was just on the other side of the wall from where the sick man was. And he was repeating over those lines. Ponder the words carefully. Today, thou livest yet. Today, turn thee to God. For ere tomorrow comes, thou mayest be with the dead. How solemn that is, men and women, but yet how true, how much of a reality that could be for some even in this meeting. The New Testament gives the warning, time is short, and maybe time for you is shorter than you think, shorter than you realize, because this day, today, could be your last day upon this earth, upon this scene of time. In our Sabbath meetings, as you know, we often announce deaths connected with the families of the congregation. Just think of this. Maybe next Sabbath we could announce your death. Before this week is over, you could be carried from the house of God, carried out to the graveyard to be laid to rest. Sudden death, men and women. That's a great warning that you need to get saved, and you need to get saved today, immediately. An immediate decision for Jesus Christ. Another reason why you need to get saved today is because of the Spirit's withdrawal. If you look at verse 7, it tells us in the brackets, the parenthesis, as the Holy Ghost saith. Just think of that, the Spirit's speaking. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing now. That's what he's doing in this meeting, in this gospel service. There's some here in the meeting, and the Spirit is speaking to you. He's working in your heart, in your life. Maybe that has been the case all week. You're conscious. You've been troubled. There's been unrest. You've been convicted of your sin. Maybe that has been going on for quite some time. If it is the case, what a mercy that is. What it means is that there's still hope. God is still speaking. The door of opportunity, the door of mercy, and the door of salvation is still open for you. There's still hope for you to be saved. But the sad thing is, you haven't yielded yet. You haven't yielded yet to the pleadings of the Spirit of God. You haven't obeyed his voice. You haven't repented and turned from your sins. You've been resisting the Spirit of God. That's a fearful thing. That has been your response, but how solemn, men and women. Stephen, when he was preaching in Jerusalem, the sermon's recorded in Acts chapter 7, he said to the Jewish people, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And those words sum up perhaps what you have been doing. You have been resisting the workings and the strivings of the Spirit of God. Let me say to you, men and women, I don't know how that happens. I can't explain it. I can't explain how men resist the strivings of the mighty Spirit of God. But the Bible teaches that it can and it does happen. And I want to warn you of it tonight. And I want to warn you not to do it. Not to do it anymore. We want to urge you and plead with you tonight. Don't shut them out any longer. Because remember, the Spirit may not speak to you tomorrow. He may be speaking with you today. He may have been speaking with you all week, striving upon your heart. But there's no guarantee the Spirit will still speak in your life and in your heart tomorrow. The Spirit can stop working in a person's life. Do you remember what the Lord said to the people of Noah's day? "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." What a warning that is. How clear. The Spirit can stop working in your life. What would be the result if that was to happen to you? The result is that you'd be lost. You'd be doomed. There'd be no hope for your soul. Remember that Hosea said, Hosea the prophet, "Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone." Just think of those words at the end of that statement. Let him alone. That's a fearful thing, men and women. If God were just to leave you alone, if God were no longer to speak to your heart, if God, as it were to say goodbye to you, then you'd be doomed. You'd be damned. Even you lived another 50 years and more from this day, there still would be no hope for your soul. That, men and women, is the unpardonable sin. If the Spirit of God speaks and speaks and you resist and refuse until the Spirit of God withdraws from you and speaks no longer, that is what the Bible describes as the unpardonable sin. And if you commit that sin, then there's no hope for you, no hope for your soul, no hope for your soul in the light of God's great eternity. Some here, and you're in danger, great danger, of committing that unpardonable sin. God has spoken. He has spoken to you many times. Spoken to you over and over for many years of your life, and still you resist. Still you're not saved. Can I sound a very clear warning to your heart tonight that you're in danger? You're in grave eternal danger. You're in danger, even in this gospel service, of going over the deadline. Remember, there is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. You're in danger tonight. In danger of going over that deadline and been lost for all eternity. Remember, men and women, you can't do what you like with God. You can't do what you like with the Holy Ghost. You can't refuse the Spirit of God. You can't resist His strivings and then decide that you're going to receive salvation when it suits you or whenever you want to be saved. You can only come to Christ. You can only be saved whenever God is speaking and whenever the Spirit of God is striving in your heart. You think of Esau. Remember Esau and Jacob, the two brothers, the twins. The Bible says of Esau, "For you know how that afterward," think of those words, "afterward, at a later time, he thought he could get saved just when he wanted some other time. You know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it. Notice the words. He sought it carefully with tears. And the warning, men and women, is if you miss the opportunity, go over the deadline, you can never be saved. You might want to try. That's what the verse says about Esau. He sought it, and he sought it earnestly, it says, with tears. He wanted to be saved. He tried to be saved. But it was too late, men and women. You might want to try at a later time, but that will not be possible. So men and women, let us say to you tonight, beware, lest the Spirit stops working in your life. Do you remember what the Bible says about Samson? The Scripture says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Just think of what would happen. What if that were to happen to you? And remember, it could happen. What if the Holy Ghost departed from you tonight? The reality, men and women, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved because of the possibility, the warning of the Spirit's withdrawal. The Spirit can withdraw from your heart and from your life. The third matter that we'll emphasize as to why you should get saved immediately is because of the sinner's condition. In verse 8 of this passage, it says, harden not your hearts. Let me remind you, there are two choices. Two choices for you when you hear the gospel message. One is that you'll hear his voice, or the other is that you'll harden your heart. Just think of those things for a moment, and then ask yourself, which will it be? Which will it be for you this evening at the end of this gospel service? Can I remind you, every day you wait, every day that you resist, every day that you delay to come to Christ, your heart gets harder. That's what happens to your heart. That's what happens in your life. Your heart gets harder towards the things of God, towards the message of the gospel, towards things that are spiritual. Do you remember Pharaoh? When the frogs came into the land of Egypt, the Bible says the frogs were everywhere in Pharaoh's bed. Whenever he went to go to bed at night, retire for the evening, they were in the kitchens, the kneading troughs, when they were seeking to prepare the dough to bake bread. The frogs were everywhere. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron, asked them to pray to God to take away the frogs. The strange thing about that is when Moses asked when, that he didn't say today. He said tomorrow. Remember, that's always people's attitude. Not today. We'll do it tomorrow. But here's the question, men and women. What was Pharaoh's spiritual condition tomorrow? Did he repent? Did he humble himself? Did he turn from his sin and turn to God? No, the Bible says that he hardened himself. You see, men and women, every day you wait, every day that you refuse to come to Christ, your heart gets harder towards God and the message of the gospel. And for you it'll be the same. Tomorrow, your heart will be harder to the gospel than it is today. Tomorrow, you'll have less interest in spiritual things. Tomorrow, you'll have less interest in the Word of God than you have today. Sometimes, you know, it's said, maybe you might say this. You say, I've got used to preaching. I've got used coming to meetings like this. I'm not as troubled. I'm not as concerned. I don't tremble the way I used to. You're not afraid. You're not afraid of preaching on hell and preaching of your soul going to a lost eternity. Can I say to you tonight, if that is the case, if that's how you think, that's a sad situation. That's tragic. It's a very fearful situation. Do you know what has happened if that's how you think? If that's the attitude that you have towards meetings like this now, what has happened
What has made the difference is your heart is harder. Harder to the things of God. Can I remind you tonight, it's a proven fact. Proven fact. Most people get saved when they're young, when they're still a child. Dr. Horatius Bonner, the famous Scottish preacher of the 19th century, the Bonner brothers. Horatius said that of 253 Christians that he knew intimately, that this was a survey that he carried out himself, an inquiry that he made. He wanted just to get an idea of what age people came to Christ at. And of 253 Christians that he knew intimately, 223 of them, so that's just 30 shy of the full total, 223 of them were saved before they were 30 years of age. It's very clear. Others have carried out similar surveys, asked similar questions. Most people get saved when they're young, when they're still a child. Do you know why that is, men and women? It's because their heart is still tender. Their heart is still soft. Let me invite earnestly every child, every young people, every young person in this meeting tonight. Let me invite you to get saved today, before sin hardens your heart. Did you notice the words there in verse 13? But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How deceitful sin can be. It can deceive you. It will lead you on farther than you want to go. And you will be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we plead, every young person, every child in this meeting, you get saved today before sin hardens your heart, before sin dulls your conscience towards the things of God. Can I say to the older people in the meeting, especially those out of Christ, you have lived long, maybe been in the depths of sin. Maybe it is true tonight that your heart is hard. But there's still hope for you. It may be more difficult for you to be saved, but remember, nothing is impossible with God. Remember, His word is like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So we pray that you'll feel the power of His word upon your heart. Ezekiel said, "And I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh." So the Lord can break, the Lord can change that hardened heart of yours. But it's vital, men and women, that you let Him do that today. Would you not have to admit, older person in the meeting, all the years that you have gone on in your sin, that your heart is hard enough already toward the gospel, towards the things of God? So we urge you, don't wait any longer. We urge you, men and women, don't wait until it's too late for you to be saved. One final thing I'll emphasize why you should be saved today is because of the soul's punishment. Verse 11 of the passage, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." We considered a little about our own wrath and anger this morning. Here's a reference to the wrath of God. The righteous wrath of a holy God against sinners. I swear in my wrath. We need to consider that, men and women. Can I remind you tonight? If you die without Christ, it's the wrath, the judgment, the punishment of God that awaits you in eternity. Do you remember what Job said? Because there is wrath, the certainty of it, beware. He's sounding the warning, and we want to declare that warning in this meeting too. Beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Earlier in the message, we emphasized the possibility of sudden death. He take thee away with His stroke. Just in a moment, just in an instant, you could be swept from this world into the next, taken from this life into the next world and into a lost eternity. There's not a doubt about it. God's wrath is a certainty, and you're in danger of it. But remember this, men and women, some will experience more of the wrath of God than others. Some will be punished more for their sin than for others. There are degrees of punishment in hell. You think of the Savior's words, and the servant, or that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So some will be punished more than others. You remember what the Savior said of Capernaum? Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Just think of that, what he's saying. More tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the city of Capernaum. For some unsaved, the judgment day will be more tolerable than for others. In other words, some will be punished less than others. And the fact is this, men and women, the longer you go on in your sins, the more that you reject Christ, if you die without him as your Savior, then the more awful the day of judgment will be for you. What that will mean is that you will be cast into a part of hell that is deeper, darker, and hotter than others. That's unimaginable. That's a fearful, solemn fact and reality, men and women. The Bible says of Lot that while he lingered, he was in awful danger, and still he was lingering, still he was holding back. And some of you are lingering. Some of you still have to flee from judgment. You're halting, you're delaying, you're lingering. And the reality, men and women, is the more that you wait, the more you linger, the more opportunities that you reject, then the greater your punishment, your damnation will be in eternity. So reasons why you should be saved today. Sudden death. You could be taken away in an instant. No guarantee of the morrow. The Spirit's withdrawal. It's a great mercy if you can sense the Holy Ghost speaking in your heart today. If you know the Spirit of God is still striving on your heart and in your life. But remember, the Spirit can withdraw. My Spirit shall not always strive. The sinner's condition. Every day you go on in your sin, every time you refuse the gospel, you're hardening your heart against the things of God. And the soul's punishment. If you die without Christ, just think of the awful wrath and judgment of God that awaits you. As I close, men and women, I remind you of Paul's words, drawing near the end of his life, 2 Timothy. He said, I am now ready to be offered. I wonder, can you say that tonight? At the end of this gospel meeting, everyone that's here, everyone that's listening to the message, you're in one of two conditions. You can either say, I am now ready, or I am not ready. So which is it? Which is it for you? If you're not ready, I plead with you earnestly with all my heart tonight. Plead with you to make an immediate decision right now at this moment, the end of the meeting. Don't leave it even until you get home. Do it before you go from the service. Make an immediate decision for Jesus Christ to receive him, ask him, come into your heart to be your Savior and wash away your sins in his precious blood. Make that immediate decision lest you be too late. So why? Why you should get saved immediately? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, Remember, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will, hear. God has been speaking in your life, speaking for a long time, speaking in different ways, speaking very loudly. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Don't harden yourself anymore against the things of God. We're going to sing just two verses, 232. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn, while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Verses 1 and 2, the hymn 232 will stand as we sing, please. Just seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we bring this meeting before thee, all that has taken place. Thank you for bringing each of us here tonight. And Lord, those that have been listening in on the live stream as well. We ask thee, Father, to bless what has taken place this evening. We ask thee to speak through your word. We're conscious, Father, of the solemnity of the message that has gone forth, the warning that has been sounded. And yet, Father, we recognize that we cannot, with all our efforts, create an anxious thought. We cannot in any way frighten any person with the realities of eternity. Lord, we need thee to come. We need the Spirit to work. We need thee to come and awaken those that are lost, those that are in danger. We plead, Father, for that great work to be done. May the Spirit come and reprove of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Lord, we're asking, let there be fruit tonight in this meeting. Let there be signs following. May God speak on. And Lord, we're asking, impress that word today upon the hearts of those that are lost. And we pray that today will be the day of salvation. Answer our cries. We commit ourselves to thee as we leave. We ask for journeying mercies home for every person in the meeting. We ask the Lord, keep us through this week. Guide our footsteps and use us to your glory. Help us to live
in a way that brings glory to our Saviour. And we pray, Father, that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Amen.